Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We find the phrase born of God several times in the New Testament, and most of these times it is written by the Apostle John. It conveys a very important Christian concept, and we need to be aware of the spiritual meaning and significance of it. And so our study shall center on the phrase as is found in the books written by John. First, let us understand the term born. When we speak of one being born, it refers to that which has been begotten, or generated, or produced, given life and existence. To be born of God means to have been given life by God. When one is born of woman, he is the product of the woman, with the woman as the parent. The woman gives life to that which is born of her. We sometimes use the phrase in a symbolic sense, but with the same basic meaning. We speak of something being born of poverty. For instance, some person may be very successful financially because of the persistent effort put forth to reach such success. When searching for the motivation behind the hard work, we may find that the quest for riches was born of poverty in one's earlier life. Courage is sometimes born of fear and born of necessity. Patience is born of adversity, that is, it is a product of adversity. Weakness is born of indulgence, and strength and trust is often born of experience and age. Well, in the same general sense, a person is the product of God, God being the source and parent. Now, in one sense, all men can be said to be born of God. Physically, we've all come from the first parents, Adam and Eve, that God created. Through God's laws of procreation have we all come. But the phrase in John's writings does not refer to physical descendancy, but refers to a spiritual relationship that we have with God. In John chapter 1, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Christ came to the Jews first, but they refused to accept him as the Messiah that had been prophesied by their very own prophets. And under the influence of their leaders, even the people of Nazareth, where he grew to manhood, refused to acknowledge him as the Son of God, as he claimed. But some did receive him, and they recognized him to be the Savior. And this was true among both Jews and the Gentiles. And those that accepted him as the Savior were given the power, the right, the privilege, to become what they were not, namely, sons of God. Their mere belief did not make them sons of God, but their belief was the first step toward becoming children of God. And once they believed and obeyed what the Lord commanded, they were the sons of God. Their faith gave them access into the grace of God, Romans 5 and verse 2. Children of God are those that are born of God. One is not a child of God due to any fleshly parentage or heritage. And while the Jews emphasized the physical ancestry as being the avenue of being a child of God, the will of Christ makes it plain that one's parents are not what brings one into the right relationship with God as father and child. Children of God are not born of the flesh, nor by following the will of men. Children of God become so by virtue of following God's will. By faith, and obedient faith, we become sons and daughters of God, and are said to be born of God. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now some have suggested that this passage teaches that the children of God cannot sin in the sense that it's impossible for them to sin. But this would contradict so much else that the Scripture teaches regarding Christians who do sin that it must be an erroneous interpretation of the passage. In fact, in this very same epistle, John speaks of Christians who sin and how they can be forgiven, 1 John 1, 8-10. So we know that it is not teaching the impossibility of sinning. The words cannot, sinneth not, committeth sin have reference to continually, habitually, willfully continuing in the ways that are sinful. The present tense of the verbs in the Greek language, the original language chosen by the Holy Spirit, has the idea of keeping on in the action mentioned. The passage teaches that those who are born of God will not keep on sinning as they had before they were born of God. Being born of God, they are now new creatures in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, and they will not continue in the ways of unrighteousness. As Paul stated in Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? This passage is not expressing the doctrine of impossibility to sin, but the incompatibility and the inconsistency of sin in the lives of those who are born of God. A person who is born of God is no longer a servant of sin, but a servant of righteousness, Romans 6, 16-18. Now, verse 10 concludes by mentioning the characteristics of love in those who are born of God. And this introduces us to the next use of the phrase, born of God, that we shall consider. This, too, is in 1 John and chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Now, in these five verses, love is mentioned 11 times. There is an inseparable tie between love and being one who is born of God. A child of God is a person who loves. Love is an important stone in the foundation of Christianity. Our very religion came into being because of the love God has for mankind, and it is perpetuated by love. It will prove to be of eternal benefit as well as a temporal benefit because of love. God loved us, John 3 and verse 16, and we love him in return. And Christ demonstrated his love by giving his life for us, John 15, 13. Christians are to love. The psalmist David wrote in Psalm 119, O, how love I thy law. The first and greatest commandment is to love God, and the second is like unto it, to love thy neighbor, Matthew 22. Peter admonished in 1 Peter 1, love the brotherhood. One who is lacking in love reveals something amiss in his life. The lack of love is not like the Father, because God is love. His children should be as he is. Those that are born of God will love that which God loves. And we are told that we do not really know God if we do not have love. In 1 John 2, 28 and 29, now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, he may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Friend, there is a trait of character and of life of those that are born of God that's called doing righteousness. There is an emphasis on the fact that there is something that the person born of God must do. Being born of God means that one lives a life of action and work and service. He is doing the Father's will. James 4:17 says, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." We cannot be passive and inactive and lethargic and indifferent if we are to be the children of God. Those born of God are not of that kind of persuasion or disposition. Rather, their lives are lives of activity to the glory of God. We do what God calls righteousness. And what is the righteousness of God? Psalm 119, verse 172 says, "All thy commandments are righteousness." Paul said that the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel, Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. It is the way God makes man righteous. It refers to the commandments of God to man by which man does the will of the Father. If we are to be born of God and live as one who is born of God, we're expected to do these commandments. And some of the Lord's commandments are positive, and then there are those things that we are not to do. Some of them are very negative. They are those things that are forbidden and for which we must totally abstain. Honoring parents, doing good to all men, especially those of the household of faith, remembering the Lord in the memorial feast of the Lord's Supper, they are examples of positive commands. Not to lie and to steal and commit adultery, these are examples of negative commands. All of these are included in the righteousness of God. Because of the righteousness of God, we can be made acceptable to God. Acts 10:34-35, Peter said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Now thus far, we have seen that born of God means belief in Christ by which we have power to become the sons of God. It means loving what God loves. It means living and doing in everyday behavior and conduct the way and manner of Christ as the will of God reveals. And possibly we can summarize with a generalized statement. Born of God means faith, a faith that requires obedience. It means a love that will obey. It means a determination to live a life apart from sin by obeying God's commands. It means doing what God declares is righteous. Ultimately, born of God means being a submissive servant of God, not only in obeying the first principles and coming to Him through Christ, but living a life after the example of Christ. One is born of God when he is born again. We are born into the kingdom of God, John 3:3-5. And the kingdom is the church, and the church is the family of God, Matthew 16 and 1 Timothy chapter 3. Those in God's family are his sons and daughters. And 1 John 5:1-5 presents to us a rather complete definition of the phrase directly from Scripture. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.